Welcome to Heel to Heel Radio. This is Elizabeth Gordon with Flourishing Business. Thanks for tuning in, where we have women talking business here. And I have three of the four fabulous authors of a brand new book called Opportunity Meets Motivation in the studio with me today. So unfortunately, Marla Brown was not able to make it, but we have the very lovely Peggy Parks of the Parks Image Group. And also, I have Angela Durden of AngelaDurden.com, as well as Mike and his grandpa.com. And finally, Miss Eleanor Morgan of MDE Corps and ClaritySpecialists.com. So, ladies, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us.
It's a wonderful journey to read this book that you've put together. So I'd like to start off by giving you the opportunity to talk about the journey of writing the book, because I'm sure it was quite a process. Each of the four of you share your stories both personally and professionally as your career paths have evolved into very successful self-employment careers that you all have created in the marketplace. So how did you all decide to put this project together and get started on it?
Well, a couple of years ago, Leah Serrano from AWIB said, within this group, we have so many great stories of women that we need to share to motivate other people. So she asked for volunteers, and the four of us volunteered along with quite a few other people. And as we began to develop what it would take with this, it really dropped down to just the four of us doing the book. So we started out with a lot more people. But during that process, I think we defined the stories and then what it was we needed to tell people to motivate them, women and men that might want to go into business or just advance the business they're in.
Well, it's fabulous to hear the stories, and it's interesting that that's sort of, you know, how it began. What do you think the big kind of undertone or underlying message of the book is as you put these stories together and compiled kind of what your life's journey and your professional journey has all been about?
For me, it was fear. Fear ran through it. All of us at some point in time have had very bad situations we've had to meet.
I mean, reading through some of this stuff, I thought, my gosh, the strength that it took and the courage to overcome some of these things. And yeah, because it would be fearful to mm-hmm. take on some of these situations.
It is. And a lot of people, when they meet fear, they stop dead. And they don't try and go through it. And when you go through the fear, when you meet the fear, when you figure it out and you move forward successfully through it and you learn from it, then you're a better person all around, in your personal life, in your as an employee, as an employer, as a business owner, whatever it may be. But you have to let it teach you, and you have to be open to that those lessons. You must.
Right, because it's going to be there, and it's a matter of how are you going to overcome that. Peggy, in the book, you talk a lot about how you overcome being very shy and kind of insecure and how you had to blossom professionally in order for you to create this successful business. What did it take for you to be able to shed some of those fears and insecurities and grow into this bigger person that you've become?
Well, actually, I was in a very comfortable rut. I was in corporate for over 20 years, going to work every morning, leaving in the afternoon, just having my little life. And when you've been in corporate for over 20 years, what happened to me is that I was laid off. And by the fifth layoff, I got a feeling somebody was trying to tell me something.
There's a message here that the universe is putting out for me.
I know, maybe I should see the sign. And I was very fortunate in that I had a great severance package, placement services, and on. So I took time out to figure out what I could do. I didn't think I wanted to go back to corporate. And yet at the same time, I was afraid and scared to death to do anything else.
So what happened? I mean,
well, I started, my husband was very helpful in that we just sat down and tried to figure out what I was good at. I had been in HR. I loved coaching. I loved mentoring people. But I also have this innate way of putting clothes together. My mother's from France. She always looks fantastic. People would come into my office and ask me to help them shop or dress. And I never thought anything of it.
Right. You talk about how you have this skill that had been kind of cultivated from a very young age through your mother, grandmother,
right.
And traveling around the world and seeing different cultures. And now putting that to work as a business. So talk a little bit about your company and what you do for clients with the Parks Image Group.
Okay, there are two sides to my company. The first one is corporate training. I teach etiquette, civility, professional image to corporations, to their employees. And the other side is individual consultation. I offer color analysis, personal shopping, wardrobe planning. I just help women be the best they can be. We bring out the essence of who you are to the outside by the way you dress.
Don't you also help men, though?
Yes,
I
do help men,
too. I know you do have
men
clients, too.
Yes, I have male clients,
too. And you're great with them.
Yeah, but, you know, I prefer working with women. They're just,
I know.
There's a way. I mean, men are too easy. You tell them what to wear and what to buy, and that's it.
Well, hello.
Women can have a little bit more fun with it. And I've heard you speak, and I've been getting your newsletter for years now, and I love the kinds of advice and tips. I was, like, all worried coming to the studio today. I'm always so intimidated with, you know, we've got success, we've got style. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I hope I can show up and actually, you know, be semi-chic in this audience. What are some of the, you know, blunders or things that people don't know about how to dress and how to look and behave professionally and create that critical first impression and the even more important second impression after that based on the image?
Well, in this time and age, it's very easy. It's all about civility or lack thereof. As we know, if you just listen to the news or just watch people, it seems that everybody has become very rude. They say it's because, I think it's the way of communicating right now. Everybody is anonymous. You can say anything to anybody in a blog on the internet, but you don't realize how you can really affect somebody's life or somebody's business in a negative manner. So you've got to bring civility back to the table. And, of course, the last few weeks, you know, just in what's been happening in the world shows a lot of incivility.
Yes, that's very true. Angela, I want to turn over to you and hear a little bit more about your business and how you came to be the successful unemployed woman that you are today. So share some of your story and your background.
I was a stay-at-home mom, basically, who was doing some freelance writing and had a husband who was needing me to just be there for him and the kids, and yet he insisted upon me earning money. And it didn't matter what job I went out to try to get, it was never the one that was going to work with his schedule. So finally I said, how can I do this, go into business for myself, and I did. He didn't like that either, but at some point I didn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about the, you know, juggling family priorities as well as career.
Correct.
And, you know, the income statement of a household.
Yes.
Of, you know, needing to bring in money to support a family.
Yes.
So self-employment is a wonderful option for being able to integrate.
Yes.
Those. So writer for hire.
Writer for hire is what I started. And I thought all I would be doing was writing the words and then just putting them on a piece of paper and giving them to whoever wanted it, and they would do whatever else it is they did. And I did not know what else could be done. But by the second client that I had, he said, "What's this?" When I gave him, I said, "It's the words you wanted me to write." He goes, "But I need them on a flyer." I went, "What?" So next thing you know, I'm in graphic design because I did not know what, and I needed the money. So I was in graphic design.
Right. You just kept forging ahead. What else could this business do?
And the next thing you know, I was in database building and bulk mail fulfillment and quarterly newsletters and employee stuff and customer stuff and then consulting. I mean, it just kept growing. It was
businesses are like that, aren't they?
But you have to keep yourself open to opportunity.
Has that been one of the big things that you've learned, is that being open to the opportunity is what allowed the growth to take place?
Yes, because everything that I've done has one thing in common, and it's words. Somebody has to choose them. Somebody has to place them. Somebody has to send them out. Why can't I get paid for all that? Yeah, I can. So that's what I do.
Now, what about MikeAndHisGrandpa.com?
Again, words. Years ago, I had an idea for a children's series of books featuring a grandfather and a grandson, and I just could not come up with how to tell that. And a chance comment by my now ex-husband, but you know, we were married at the time, he said, you know, a great title for a book was, and I went, boom, told everybody, get in the car and shut up and don't say a word, because the first story came fully formed. Of course, now I had been thinking about all these things for years, but all these thoughts. I ended up publishing not that book first, but another one with Mike and Grandpa, and I'm working on that one now. It's being illustrated. And I do creative writing in schools with third, fourth, and fifth graders. Sometimes teachers too, but that's another story. That's fun.
It sounds really fun, mm-hmm. and I love how you found outlets to use your creativity and your gift for words in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. But how do you manage all of that? I mean, it sounds like you have a very full plate. What keeps you on top of it all?
Well, I'm OCD. And
like many entrepreneurs,
so I can do a lot. I'm extremely organized, so I can see all these different projects. I will get this one to a certain point, send it out, and let it be doing its thing, and start on the next one. And it just sort of keeps rotating around like that. I have fine tuned the process
over time.
Yes,
it sounds like it. All right, Eleanor Morgan, I want to learn more about MDE Corps and Clarity Specialists. Talk about how your companies have evolved over time.
Okay. Actually, I was very fortunate that I had a role model early in life that I said, that's who I want to be like. And she was a secretary. But when I was a little girl, to watch her every day put on her high heels, and she did wear high heels, and her business suit and carry her briefcase and every day go off into some world that I thought was just the grandest thing in the world. So in that at a very early age and very innocently, I said, I want to be a business person. Had no clue what that meant. So the first 10 years of my business life, I really did grow in corporate America. So I worked for two of the Fortune 500 companies, always in a support role. And what I realized was, looking back, those first 10 years, it was all about me. And it was about how I could succeed, how I could go further in the business. And after that, I began to look and I realized that's not what it's all about. It's really about the relationships along the way and what you gather as well as what you give back to other people. So in the second and third part of my career, we actually started a new business out of necessity. My husband and I were in a construction business. He had a heart attack. We had somebody default at a hotel that we were renovating. So I was used to doing the project work, but I certainly could not go out and run a job on site. So we had to get out of that, find a way to pay the people that we owed on that. So I went into the world of consulting at that point in time. The PC industry was just starting to come in with personal PCs. So it was being in the right place at the right time.
And recognizing the opportunity.
Well, that's true. So at first, I really was just me. And what I found was the other contractors in this company I was in just weren't really fulfilling what I thought was the quality of work they should be providing. So I did a proposal and said, if you'll let me hire the contractors and manage them, I can assure you this level of service. So in the book, I say very shakily, I went in because I'm like, maybe they say, okay, we don't need you anymore. And I really needed that job right then. So
that took a lot of courage to
really
step up
did.
To the plate and say, okay, right. I'm ready to play at a bigger level here. Mm-hmm. And I need to do this because, you know, my family is relying on me and I have to be the professional and really, you know, be the businesswoman.
Absolutely. So they were fine with that because they had already asked, are there any more like you at home? Can you bring some more in? So, and of course,
that's always a good sign.
Oh, absolutely.
You're on to something.
So that was how my business, the MD&E business, really got started. Now, what I found was during this booming time, there were a lot of things that needed to be done. So I first went in being a data analyst and helping understand the hierarchy and structure of defining a customer. What I found was as systems and applications rolled out, they needed help desk support. They needed quality assurance testing. You needed to build reports. You needed data cleansing. So because of my previous work, I was allowed to bid on new contracts. And that's really how our business got started. And that was our MD&E business. About 2 years ago, we decided we needed to rebrand ourselves because we wanted to grow as a business. And we went through the rebranding, and that's where Clarity Specialist came from. So Clarity is really our new branding, our trademark, and we purchased a staffing company that does professional IT services so we could do that hand-in-hand with the project work. So Clarity is our branding for our MD&E company. And we've got about 100 people now and quite a few customers out throughout the U.S.
So it's really grown a lot over the years and continued to evolve.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
How do you stay in touch with what is going on in your marketplace and what your customers need and then respond to that as an entrepreneur, as the owner of this business?
That's a very good question. I think one person with 100 people and all these different customers, I can't do it all myself. Took me a few years to realize that I did have to let other people help me. So I've developed my support team, and I use them to status me and bring me in where I need to be. And that way, I'm not trying to do everything myself. Plus, I'm actually laying the foundation for the future. Because that's something, as an entrepreneur, you should always think about is what's going to happen when I don't want to do this anymore or when it outgrows me. And it took me a while. You really should plan that when you start your business if you're going to grow it. But a few years ago, we started really developing that and developing the support staff we need to carry on.
Well, as I've heard how you've all evolved over time, I know that, and I, you know, have such admiration for these professional accomplishments that you've taken on. I know that you probably had very important mentors and advisors along the way, some of which you talk about in the book, some of which are, you know, of a personal nature as well as a professional, and that kind of intertwines. What role do you feel like your support group and mentors and advisors have played in your success, as well as the support group of each other?
Well, I'll go ahead and finish. But one thing I found with the support group, you need several different types of support groups, one being your personal, and you need really strong friends, strong women that will tell you when they think you're wrong. And not everybody can do that. And so I found early on, as I was growing this business, I needed women that would say, Eleanor, have you thought about this? So I developed those, some that I worked side by side with, some were outside of my business model. And then your family, you need support from your family that this is important and they're willing to support what you're doing. And my husband's been a wonderful supporter in that.
At the start of my story, I have a quote that says, I want to meet people from whom I can learn more. I want to meet and surround myself with people who have a positive attitude. And I don't know where I'm going to meet these people. I found that if I keep myself open to the fact that they exist and that I don't know everything and that I can learn, they sort of just find me. Some have been in my life a longer time and some shorter, but everyone has managed to bring something to me, whether they knew it or not. They may have been a mentor and did not even know that that's what they were to me, but I recognized them for it. And I think in Eleanor's piece in the back part of the book, she goes into that a little bit more about you don't know where these things are going to come from, and but you better be ready to accept it because that's what you need at that time.
Now, you all mentioned the important role that Leah Serrano and the Atlanta Women in Business group here in town has played in your networking and in your success. I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit more about the group, as well as tell people more about the book and how the project came together mm-hmm. through that group.
Well, I would say, and I've said it very often, I would not be where I am if it weren't for Atlanta Women in Business. I started my business in 2004, met Leah shortly thereafter, and she asked me to speak to her group, which, of course, just scared the living daylights out of me. And it took about a year for me to do that, to get things going. But if it weren't for her, the members that I met, the women I met, of course, I would have never met Angela, Marla, and Eleanor. We'd never have a book. I was able to be on TV, on radio, writing books, just being able to connect with these other women. I think it's probably one of the better groups, the women's groups here in Atlanta. I have gone to very many. As you know, Elizabeth, we used to run into each other just about everywhere.
Oh, there's quite a scene here in Atlanta for women, for business women, absolutely. And it is an excellent group. I've always enjoyed my time at events there.
Amazing women. It took me a while to realize how much we could offer one another, but it's been just incredible.
Now, the book also, in addition to telling your stories of business success and kind of personal triumph as well, has a lot of very practical advice in terms of question and answers towards the back, where you go through and give people advice on a lot of the things that come up when you start a business that you just don't know about. How did you figure out what to include in this portion of the book?
This concept of this book was something that I've been thinking about for a long, long time, and I read business magazines constantly. So I had been keeping a list of questions that I saw kept coming up over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I kept noticing how I really was not getting the answers that I needed as a sole proprietor or a small business. The business magazines were talking to people who were, their definition of small business was way beyond anything I was ever going to do. So I thought, these still are things I need to know. So I made a list of first, sent it out to everybody, and I said, okay, what other questions have y'all come up with? They sent a bunch of questions back. We saw where there was any overlap. We hired somebody to clarify some of this for us. Then we started answering it. And then where we had a lack of knowledge on a subject, we would ask someone else outside of us, tell us the best thing how to answer this question because it's something we need help with. So.
Yeah, I think also what I found was in talking with women in particular about business, and they might say, well, I'm thinking about getting into a business. When you ask them the real questions, they hadn't thought it through. Mm-hmm. So this was really something so people could think, am I really prepared for this, or do I need to go back and do some homework before I decide to jump in?
Mm-hmm. Right. You offer a lot of very thorough advice in terms of planning, you know, financial projections, cash flow, marketing strategies, operations, employees, a lot of the things that you have to consider when, I mean, an idea is one thing or a skill set, but building a business based on that and turning it into an ongoing successful entity requires a lot of work. Where have all of you gone to learn the skills that you've had to learn over the years to achieve this professional success?
Probably other women, which is something that surprised me. When I was in corporate, women were, we were always competing for something, whether it was a job, whether it was a man, whatever it might have been. But I realized when I started my own business how the giving and supporting women can be. It seems that entrepreneurs are not as selfish as corporate women. They want to help one another. And it really, really surprised me. And I think it's wonderful. It's so rewarding to be able to go to a friend or an acquaintance and just say, help me, and they will.
Absolutely. And the spirit of that is evident throughout the book, which, again, is a very enjoyable read. I wanted to make sure we mentioned to people where they can pick up their own copy. And or is it Amazon.com? Mm-hmm.
That, right.
Okay, so Amazon.com, and you can search for Opportunity Meets Motivation and purchase the book there. Now, you all have been on somewhat of a media tour doing interviews and speaking engagements around town. What are some of the highlights, or what can we look forward to in hearing more about the book as you continue to present it to new audiences?
Well, one thing we've found is that we've spoken to groups, and it has been amazing to us what we've heard. What we've heard is that everyone in that audience somehow is able to connect with at least one of us because we're so different.
They are four totally different stories. And totally different lives.
Absolutely.
And yet, you know, have a commonality thread where you can see how the friendship has developed over all these years and all of that. But it really is relatable, I think, to almost anyone in that regard.
So we're finding that that's a strength, and we're looking at opportunities to take that strength to larger audiences.
Well, I'm excited to have the opportunity to sit in on one of those audiences at some point in the future. And it's been a real pleasure to get to know all of you. We're almost out of time here, and I want to go ahead and start our final segment, which is our chic tip, where I go around and ask everyone to share one tip of advice. And, you know, obviously there's been so many lessons learned over the course of these successful careers. But if you had one piece of advice to offer to someone who's a little earlier on in the journey, what would be a big takeaway? And I'll start over here with you, Eleanor.
Okay. Well, mine always revolves around relationships. So my tip would be that you really need to develop those relationships, because that's the tapestry of your life. And when you leave your legacy or your company's legacy, it's really around how you touched lives and how lives touched you.
I love that. It's very thought-provoking. Okay, Peggy, how about you? What's your chic tip?
I would say fake it till you make it. Try to look at the fear and just say, what could be so terrible if I fail, whether it's fear of failure, fear of success. Just, it took me a long, long time, decades, to get over this fear. And I hope I can touch women at a younger age and tell them, just do it. It's not going to hurt even if you fail.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay, Angela, how about you? Chic tip.
Chic tip is to know that you will make mistakes. You will do something wrong. So what? You will, though, eventually do more things right than you will do wrong, and that will move your business along.
Well, that's good to hear. And it has been a real pleasure to sit down with these three very successful women. Once again, the book is called Opportunity Meets Motivation, and you can purchase it on Amazon.com. And let's just go around real quick and give people your contact information again if they're interested in finding out more about your companies and perhaps doing some business, because as much as we women like to talk business, we also like to do business. So, Eleanor, where can people get in touch with you or
contact the company?
Clarity Specialist, www.claritiespecialist.com.
Fantastic. And Peggy?
I'm at www.theparksimagegroup.com, and my email is peggy@theparksimagegroup.com.
Wonderful. And Angela?
AngelaDurden.com. Easy, easy. My email address is angeladurden@msn.com. Again, quite easy.
Well, we like to keep things easy here, and thank you again for tuning in for a wonderful heel-to-heel chat with these successful businesswomen. You can find the Chic Perspective Show on every Monday at 1:30 p.m. at businessradiox.com, and we look forward to bringing you more stories of women achieving success in business and standing heel to heel. So we will talk to you again next week. Thank you. Give on the-